Alleluia, alleluia, alleluia.
Suffer leprosy in Jesus' time meant not only pain and disfigurement, but social exclusion. Jesus breaks taboos and heals even this severe ailment, but only 1 in 10 says thank you, and he was a foreigner. Hear the Gospel of our Saviour Christ according to Luke chapter 17, beginning at verse 11. On the way to Jerusalem, Jesus was going through the region between Samaria and Galilee. As he entered a village, 10 lepers approached him. Keeping their distance, they called out, saying, "Jesus, Master, have mercy on us." When he saw them, he said to them, "Go and show yourselves to the priests." And as they went, they were made clean. Then one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back, praising God with a loud voice. He prostrated himself at Jesus' feet and thanked him. And he was a Samaritan. Then Jesus asked, "Were not 10 made clean? But the other 9, where are they? Was none of them found to return and give praise to God except this foreigner?" Then he said to him, "Get up and go on your way. Your faith has made you well." This is the Gospel of the Lord.
I speak in the name of God, Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Amen. Was no one found to return and give thanks to God except this foreigner? I know from conversations we've had that some of you are avid readers. When I retired, I resolved to join you. But for one reason or another, much of my reading seems to be limited to the pages of the Irish Times or Sunday papers. Social history and novels would be my favourite, especially those set in the 19th century, whether here in Ireland in the famine years, in England during the Industrial Revolution, or in the United States during the Civil War. One day I was discussing books with an acquaintance when he commented, "I'm assuming that you read the Bible. What's your favourite book in the Bible and why?" My answer after a few moments' hesitation was St. Luke's Gospel. While struggling with the interpretation of some of its contents, I warmed to it because from highlighting the role and the ministry of Jesus, it deals with social history and with real events. Portion of the Christmas story, for example, sets the birth of Jesus at a particular time and place in history. And if I don't believe in the Jesus of history, then I might as well give up. On many occasions, the author deals with what I call the marginalized in society. This morning's gospel is set in a particular and a very sensitive place on the border between Samaria and Judea. It deals with a major social problem and illness of its day, and of course, I'm referring to leprosy. That illness seemed to prevail for hundreds, if not thousands of years, largely in the Middle East. It evoked the same fear amongst human communities as illnesses and diseases like Ebola, AIDS, and of course, COVID-19. The big difference was that there was no known cure at that time for leprosy. Victims were forced to isolate and keep their distance, living in misery for years until death. Passages in the Old Testament, in Leviticus and Numbers, instructed them to stand at a distance. All I'd say, thank God we don't accept in this day and age and interpret every word of the Bible literally. Oh, God help us all if we did. Leprosy sufferers were marginalized, and the appalling thing is that mainstream religion considered their plight to be a punishment for sin. And you know, I've heard similar statements in our day from people about victims of AIDS and sex-related illnesses. Do they really believe that God is such a cruel and vengeful person and being that he would delight in causing his creatures to suffer unimaginable pain? All I'll say is that that is not the God with whom I identify. This morning's gospel draws attention to Jesus' relationships with the marginalized in society. In this case, leprosy sufferers and those who were despised by the Jews, namely the Samaritans. The story is told about a place and a situation where Jesus was about to cross social boundaries. The account of the leprosy sufferers evokes the story in the Old Testament of Naaman, the Syrian general, whose healing was associated with the prophet Elisha, who incidentally was born in the area we call Samaria. So often in St. Luke's Gospel, so-called outsiders are seen in a positive life or light. And perhaps the best example is the parable of the Good Samaritan. Many of you will be familiar with the fact that Jesus not only taught about freedom from prejudice, but he showed it in his dealings with people in society looked upon as, to quote, not respectable and damaged either physically or morally. The account of the healing of those with leprosy mentions that only one of them turned back to say thanks. And he, we're told, was a foreigner. He was a Samaritan. And you dismiss them very quickly. The others seem to take their dramatic healing for granted. Reflecting on that, today we live in an age of entitlement where the list of what we can claim to be and what we expect seems to grow longer by the day. And maybe because of that, sometimes there seems to be very little room for gratitude. While we live in very challenging times, and I wouldn't underestimate that for one moment, I sense that all too often when people receive assistance of one form or another, like 9 of the 10 victims of leprosy who were healed, they walk away and never look back. There is a saying, and I think it's very true, that gratitude oils the very wheels of life. The account of the meeting of Jesus with marginalized in society has to resonate with professing Christians. And if that's what you are, it's got to resonate with you and with me. As an institution and individually, we could do much more to break down barriers of prejudice and suspicion. And I'm afraid that's true of all the churches here in this part of the world. However, in addition, we must take seriously to heart also our lack of gratitude and graciousness when we examine what I'll call the hidden places of our minds. While I've forgotten the precise play, and maybe somebody will tell me at the end of the service, I am aware of the words of Shakespeare, and they're so relevant. Blow, blow, thou winter wind, thou art not so unkind as man's ingratitude. Thousands of years before that, before Shakespeare wrote, the writer of one of the Psalms admitted, O Lord, you have searched me out and known me, and you understand my thoughts from afar. While I love those words, I and maybe you should follow that thought with a prompt from the writer of another of the Psalms. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. And so to God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, be ascribed as is most justly due all might, majesty, dominion, power, and glory, henceforth and forevermore. Amen.
We believe in one God, the Father, the Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all that is seen and unseen. We believe in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, of one being with the Father. Through him all things were made. For us and for our salvation he came down from heaven, was incarnate by the Holy Spirit of the Virgin Mary, and was made man. For our sake he was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried. On the third day he rose again, in accordance with the Scriptures. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son is worshipped and glorified, who has spoken through the prophets. We believe in one holy, Catholic, and apostolic church. We acknowledge one baptism for the forgiveness of sins. We look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen. Let us pray.
Using the intercessions on page 238, if you wish to follow them. Almighty God, our Heavenly Father, you promise through your Son, Jesus Christ, to hear the prayers of those who ask in faith. Lord of your people, strengthen your church in all the world, renew the life of this diocese of Down and Dromore. Bless David, our bishop, John, our archbishop, and John, our rector, and all who help him in the running of this parish. We also pray for all organizations and those who lead them. Lord, in your mercy. Lord of creation, look with favor on the world you have made. Guide the nations in the ways of justice and of peace. Bless Charles, our king, and all in authority. We also pray for our Prime Minister, Liz Truss, and all the decisions that she and the Cabinet have to make that affect us. We pray for the Westminster government and all the affairs of the nation. We also bring before God the nations of the world and work for peace. We continue to pray for Ukraine, for the killings in Thailand, and in many other places in the world where there is still political tension. Lord, in your mercy. Lord, of our relationships, comfort and sustain the communities in which we live and work. Help us to love our neighbours as ourselves. Enable us to serve our families and friends, and to love one another as you love us. As we pray for our local community, we pray also for all the churches within this Belmont Council of Churches. We pray for the schools that serve